Scrooge and the Phantom arrived just as a woman with a heavy bundle slunk into the shop. She had just entered when another woman with a similar bundle came in too. The second woman was closely followed by a man in faded black, who was as surprised by the sight of them as they had been of each other.
"Let the housekeeper go first,"
cried the woman who entered first, taking command of the situation.
"Let the laundress go second, and let the undertaker's assistant go third."
"You couldn't have met in a better place," said old Joe, removing his pipe from his mouth. "Come into the parlour, come into the parlour."
The parlour was the space behind a screen of rags. The old man stirred the fire with an old metal rod, and then lit his smoky lamp, it was night time, with the stem of his pipe, and put it back in his mouth again. While he did this, the commanding woman threw her bundle on the floor, sat down on a stool in a flaunting manner, rested her elbows on her knees, and looked at the other two with bold defiance.
"What are the odds, then? What are the odds, Mrs. Dilber?" said the woman. "Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did."
"Yeah, well, that's true indeed," said Mrs. Dilber, the laundress. "No man more so."
"Well, then, don't stand around staring as if you was afraid. Who will be the wiser? We're not going to turn each other in for helping ourselves, I suppose."
"Oh, no, indeed," said Mrs. Dilber and the man together. "We should hope not."
"Very well, then," cried the woman. "That's enough. Who suffers because we took a few things from an unloved corpse? Not the dead man, I'll warrant."
"Oh, no, indeed," said Mrs. Dilber, laughing.
"If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old miser," pursued the woman, "why wasn't he thoughtful and kind in his lifetime? If he had been, then he'd have had somebody with him when he was struck with death, instead of lying, gasping out his last breath there all alone by himself."
"Those are the truest words ever spoken," said Mrs. Dilber. "It's a judgment on him."
"Oh, I wish it was a little harsher judgment," replied the woman. "It should have been harsher, you may be sure. If I could have laid my hands on anything else of his, I certainly would have. Open that bundle, old Joe, and let me know what you pay me for it all. It's no sin stealing from a dead man. At least, not that dead man. Open the bundle, Joe."
But the undertaker's assistant's good honour would not allow the woman's integrity to be questioned. He produced his plunder immediately, and saved her the embarrassment of having her ill-gotten gains viewed first. It was not a lot. A ring with a dead man's initial for pressing hot wax to seal envelopes closed, a pencil case, a pair of sleeve buttons, and a lapel pin of no great value were all he had. They were closely examined by old Joe, who wrote the amount he would pay for each item on the wall in chalk. Then he added them up into a total.
"That's what I'll pay you for your lot," said Joe. "And I wouldn't give another sixpence, even if I was to be boiled for not giving it. Who's next?"
Mrs. Dilber was next. Sheets and towels, a few articles of clothing, two old-fashioned silver teaspoons, sugar tongs, and a pair of boots. Old Joe wrote amounts on the wall in the same manner.
"That's what I'll pay you. If you ask me for another penny, I'd regret being so generous, and pay you half a crown less."
"And now undo my bundle, Joe," said the first woman.
"What do you call this?" said Joe. "These are bed curtains."
"Ah!"
returned the woman, laughing and leaning forward on her crossed arms.
"Bed curtains!
You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?" said Joe.
"Yeah, I did," replied the woman. "Why shouldn't I?"
"Oh, you were born to make your fortune," said Joe, "and you'll certainly do it."
"When I can get something just by reaching out for it, I certainly won't stop myself for the sake of someone like him. I promise you that, Joe," returned the woman coolly.
"He didn't die of anything contagious, did he, eh?"
said old Joe, stopping his work and looking up at the woman.
"Oh, don't you be afraid of that," returned the woman. "I wasn't so fond of his company that I'd hang around his deathbed if he was contagious. Ah, you may look through that shirt you're holding till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it, nor a threadbare spot. It's the best linen shirt he had, and a fine one too. They'd have wasted it if it hadn't been for me."
"What do you call wasting it?" asked old Joe.